is Making Stitches, back for a second series after a long summer break. In this episode, I'll be talking about a few of the things which have happened since I last spoke to you back in June.
We listen to podcasts while we're crocheting, so we thought, why not? Let's do our own podcast. So, expectations of what you will hear on our podcast will be all aspects of crochet.
Every time I spend another day looking at it, I see something else. There's a wonderful square, a 12-inch square at the top, which is of a seagull. And what's in very thin stitching, which I only recently saw underneath the seagull, is the word rise above. And it's just like things like that that suddenly you catch you, you know, that you suddenly find yourself going, oh, of course, you know, all these messages that have been explicit but also implicit in the whole quilt, really.
Hello and welcome to Making Stitches. I'm Lindsay, and if this is the first time you've listened to the podcast, welcome along. If you've been with me from the start, welcome back. It's great to have your company. Well, how was your summer? A decent one, I hope, under the current circumstances. It's at times like this I feel very lucky to have crafty interests in my life so I can escape from what's going on in the real world for a little bit. It's been a rather busy summer for me. We've packed up our family home in Gibraltar, moved not only homes but countries as well, and we've now settled back in my hometown of Manchester. There was a small matter of sorting out new schools for the three young men in my life as well, which took rather longer than I'd anticipated. Factor in a pandemic as well, and it's been a bit of an adventure. I'm pleased to say we've all settled into a temporary home, schools are sorted, and before too much longer, we'll be able to unpack in our forever home just around the corner. So that's why there's been a rather long gap between episodes. While I'm on the subject of gaps between episodes, I've come to the decision that this series, rather than having weekly episodes like last time, I'm going to publish episodes fortnightly instead. We're living through some rather uncertain times at the moment, and we can see our plans change instantly because of COVID. And I think that aiming for a new episode every 2 weeks is a more sustainable plan for me at the moment. So, down to business. If you cast your mind back to April this year, those of us in the UK, and I include Gibraltar in that, we were all in lockdown because of the pandemic. Just around the time that lockdown was announced, a wonderful CAL, or Crochet Along, was launched by the lovely ladies at the Crochet Sanctuary. In my very first Making Stitches episode, I spoke to Lisa and Linda Rose all about the Pandemonium CAL, how it had come about, the amazing worldwide community of crocheters who were joining in, and how it was helping us all get through lockdown. Well, amazingly, that chat with Lisa and Linda Rose set them off on another path. They now have a podcast of their own.
So, yeah, reasons why we've decided to do this. Back during lockdown, I think we're still in some kind of lockdown, but during lockdown, we were approached by Lindsay from Making Stitches podcast. You can already hear somebody drilling, can't we?
Yeah.
And we did our first ever interview with Lindsay on Making Stitches, and we really enjoyed it.
We did.
And we listen to podcasts while we're crocheting, so we thought, why not? Let's do our own podcast. So, expectations of what you will hear on our podcast will be all aspects of crochet. So, things we're working on, patterns we like, patterns we're writing, yarn reviews, possibly some interviews from other crochet type people, just general crochet chit chat really. So hit the subscribe button if you want to hear more.
Well done, ladies, on your new project. I've enjoyed listening to the Crochet Sanctuary podcast myself whilst crocheting naturally. If you haven't had a listen yet, you can find it in all the usual places on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, as well as many other podcast apps. I'm hoping that before too much longer, once local restrictions allow, I'll be able to speak to Lisa and Linda Rose in person. I look forward to sharing that with you in the future. Another lockdown-inspired craft project was the Creativity in Captivity quilt, which featured in episode 3 of Making Stitches. It was made by people from around the UK and even further afield. The project was the brainchild of Sue Brown, who was inspired after reading the story of a quilt made by prisoners of war in Changi in the Second World War. She enlisted the help of friends near and far to create a new quilt by submitting squares to be included in it. The quilt was to be put on public display and raise funds for charity to support people adversely affected by the COVID pandemic. Well, the quilt is now complete, all bar one square, which you will hear about shortly, and it's been making its way around the south of England and parts of Wales. I caught up with Sue Brown to tell me how it had all come together.
My goodness. So it's about five wide by 6 foot long. I think I was talking feet and inches here because it's quilt, isn't it? And it's made up of squares that are either 12 inches square or 6 inches square. And so the 12-inch squares obviously stand alone, and we put 4 6-inch squares to make a 12-inch square together in various points. And 65 people contributed, and one from Paris, one from the Bahamas. That one hasn't actually arrived yet when it comes, just to get on the back. Due to pandemic, it hasn't been able to leave the country. So it's such a shame. You know, it was there in our planning, but hasn't quite made it yet. But people from Scotland, people from Wales, people from Ireland, people from all over the country. And it's looking fabulous. I mean, we have a kind of blue theme, so it all fits in. And the people who put it together are a group of quilters from Devon, and they did such a good job. I did watch them do it, and it was like magic, you know, moving squares around until they got it absolutely right. And it was just remarkable how it all kind of fits together so well, really. Right in the middle, we've got a haiku poem from a woman in Scotland who can't sew, but said, I really want to participate, so can I just write a haiku poem? And someone embroidered it onto a lovely piece of Japanese quilted material, which is fantastic. And that's our kind of centerpiece, and everything kind of surrounds that. So it's a delight, really. It's been lovely, and it's been lovely to show it as well.
And what's the reaction you've had from people who've actually seen it now it's all come together?
We've had some very, very positive reactions from, you know, it's a historic document in a way. It's a historic, you know, it's a piece of history in terms of it I guess, illustrates a time in our lives that, you know, for us who've been here, we'll never forget. And it'll be sort of part of the future for other people too. And I think one of the squares, the one in the bottom right, was by quite a good artist, a woman artist, Rosie, and she put a little doll there. And I don't know whether it's of a time, but I remember having these dolls where we used to cut out the dresses and kind of put some tabs on and put them over the dolls and change them. And she sort of, the actual square is one of those dolls, but with a posy, and it's all about Ringa Ringa Roses, a pocket full of posies. Mm-hmm. And she said, I wonder, her narrative, because everybody's given a, you know, a narrative to the square, her narrative was, this is, you know, from Ringa Ringa Roses is very much, you know, from the plague, you know, in 16, whatever it was, and will someone write a poem that'll endure from the pandemic? You know, that was her kind of connection, really. So lots of different reactions. One of the squares is by was made by a manager of the dietetics team in intensive care in Abergavenny Hospital, and she's got a dove on her square, and it looks like a twig with lots of leaves on, but when you look at it more closely, the green bit is actually the names of all of her team who worked in intensive care during COVID-19. And that's so moving, you know, that kind of impact, that one, she had the time to do it, and then she mentioned all her team, and then she's got this kind of dove of peace on the left-hand side of the square, which is really beautiful. So there's, you know, there's lots of beautiful countryside themes, lots of flowers, lots of things denoting walks in the countryside. A couple of other poems, you know, a Rumi poem was written, and somebody else wrote another poem, which again, she's not a sewer but wanted to be involved, but it was the way that she put it on a piece of material that she had 40 years ago when she was travelling in Ghana. And it was a piece of material that a family who she befriended gave her, and I think it's something like a baby's material of some kind, and it's just another story about the connectivity between all of us across the world, really.
Oh, that's amazing!
Lots of things, and we've hung it all over the place, really. We're still exhibiting, as it were.
So where has it been then?
So it started off in Monmouth, in a place called the Bridges Community Centre, and they just reopened, and we went in and you know, hung it in, you know, one of their spaces. And we've had people came in with their masks, and they visited, and they came back, and they read all the narratives and connected the, you know, the squares to what people had written. And one woman came in and she said, you know, because, you know, the start of this particular quilt was the inspiration from the Changi prisoner of war camp, you know, where the women made the wonderful quilts, which, you know, now the Red Cross has got, really. And she came and said, this is particularly relevant to me because my dad was in Changi.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, oh, my goodness, it sends tingles up your spine, doesn't it? It's just amazing. So, that, you know, there's been connections because of our original inspiration, I guess. You know, which is a bit different, I think, from, and there's been loads of quilts that have been made, I think, during the pandemic. But, you know, we were inspired by those particular women, you know, in 1942. And as a consequence, that's made different connections to people, you know, and they've really liked that story. And, you know, the creativity and captivity label has resonated for a lot of us, I think, really. So it went to Monmouth first, stayed there for a week, and then it went, or came, because that's where I lived, to Usk, and was in the Sessions House, which is a really wonderful historical building, the old courts, and stayed there for a week. And this weekend it's going to Hampshire, it's going to Romsey, and it's going to be hung in the Abbey there, which is just phenomenal, I think.
Wow.
So, you know, all weekend in the Abbey, and then a friend in Romsey, one of the people who contributed to the quilt, is having it in her house, and she's taking bookings for people to come and see it, so we can, you know, she can all be socially distanced and people can have a really good look at it. So, and we've now raised over £1,000 for Refuge, which was another reason for doing it, to support people who've had a really, really bad time, you know, during the pandemic. So, you know, people who've experienced domestic violence and who've needed support. And Refuge has been our chosen charity to give to. So we've, you know, we've made a bit of money as well, and that's still going on. You know, people can donate online, and we also have little envelopes, you know, and we show the quilt, and people contribute, which has been very generous. So we've done well, I think. And then I think it's coming back to Nice in October, and then it's hanging with somebody else's exhibition in Exeter in November, and then it's going north, so you may be able to see it.
Oh, I'd very much like
yet,
that.
Undecided yet, but we've got the Ribble Valley and we've got somewhere near Manchester, I think, but I will let you know, and you can go and have a proper look, because there's nothing like, it's in like 3D seeing it as opposed to the 2D photographs, which are also, the photographs are great, but actually seeing the textures, you know, are quite phenomenal. And what you can also see when you visit, the quilting, the actual quilter who did all the stitching around it, has done a fabulous job. And you don't see that on the 2D, you don't see that on the photograph. But when you come and see the quilt, you can see what an amazing job she's done, with a real kind of variety of squares and a variety of textures and variety of things that are on the squares. And she's done a fabulous job of bringing out the quilt as it should be, really. So, as you can see, I'm still quite excited about it.
Well,
I'm still quite emotional about it, actually. I mean, every time I look at it, I see something else. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, because I've been mainly at the exhibitions, because they've been in my part of the world at the moment. And every time I spend another day looking at it, I see something else. There's a wonderful square, a 12-inch square at the top, which is of a seagull. Somebody in Exmouth, a lady called Daphne, did that one. And what's in very thin stitching, which I only recently saw underneath the seagull, is the word rise above. And it just, like, things like that, that suddenly you catch you, you know, that you suddenly find yourself going, oh, of course, you know, all these messages that have been explicit, but also implicit in the whole quilt, really.
Well, it sounds like you've achieved everything that you wanted to with this project, and probably
I think an awful lot more.
By
the time we sent it around the country, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's been great.
And is there a website or anywhere online where people can find out more about the quilt?
There's a Facebook page, and it's called The Quilt, and it's Spring 2020, Creativity in Captivity. So if you look up that strapline, you'll get to it, and you'll see our stories on there, and there's pictures of the whole quilt, but also we've taken, you know, four squares at a time so people can see more detail, and posted those, and also posted all the pictures of the places where we've been exhibiting the quilt. So, it's exciting. And you can also donate there. It tells you how to donate. So, you know, what the website is to go and donate. It's GoFundMe. It's a GoFundMe donation site.
And if you'd like to find out more about the Creativity in Captivity quilt and see where it will be exhibited, just search for The Quilt Spring 2020 Creativity in Captivity on Facebook. And finally, another of my guests in Series 1 was Carol Rennison, one of the organisers of the Yarndale Festival in North Yorkshire. She spoke to me all about this year's World Creative Project, which was to knit and crochet dishcloths to raise money for Martin House Children's Hospice. If you haven't already made any dishcloths, I believe they're still accepting donations of dishcloths through the post.
People can find all the information they need on our website, which is yarndale.co.uk. And we've got two patterns on there, a knitting pattern and a crochet pattern. And people can use these. There's an address where to send them to, or they can go wild and people are sending them in with lots of lovely stitch patterns. Or you can just do the simple thing. And they're great if you know how to knit yourself and you want to share that craft with somebody or some member of your family when we're all in lockdown, to teach them how to do simple knitting. You could do a simple garter stitch dishcloth. I use them myself. They're fabulous. You have a few, one on the go, one in the normal wash. You know, you don't have to throw them away. They last for a long time. So they're fabulous. And the yarn is fairly reasonable to purchase, and you can make, you know, you can make three, maybe more, depending on the size, from a ball of yarn. We're using cotton, dishcloth cotton. You can get it in the natural colour, or you can get it in colour, you know, different colours as well. And all the money raised will go to Martin House Hospice Care for Children and Young People.
That's wonderful, a really deserving cause, especially at a time like this.
Yes, it is. And we hope it gives joy to people as well to share their patterns, online, share their patterns with whoever they're locking down within the household, you know, keeping busy.
Since I spoke to Carol, unfortunately, as has been the way with so many events this year, Yarndale hasn't been able to take place in the usual way. However, that doesn't mean there's no Yarndale at all this year. Yarndale at Home will be taking place next weekend, that's Saturday the 26th and Sunday the 27th of September. For full details on how you can experience Yarndale from the comfort of your own home, check out the Yarndale website or Yarndale social media channels. And that just about brings this first episode of the new series to a close. Thank you so much for listening. You can find full details of all the things I've mentioned in the show notes for this episode. All that remains is for me to say thank you for listening and for all the lovely support and feedback I've received both during the last series and over the summer break. If you could find the time to leave a review on your favourite podcast app, I would be really, really grateful. And please do tell your friends about Making Stitches too. I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time when I'll be sharing a chat I had with bagmaker extraordinaire Samantha Hussey, otherwise known as Mrs. H. My name's Lindsay and this podcast was recorded and edited by me. You can also find me on my blog, Postcard from Gibraltar. Thank you so much for listening, and until next time, keep safe and enjoy your crafting.